irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, and we're looking at September 5th, actually. So we're back with you. Thank you for joining us. We do have a guest this morning. She's running a little late. She came a long way in the traffic, and you know what that's like, right?
Yeah, the traffic.
Yeah. Today, this morning, my drive was unusually long, but then it adjusted itself. You know how Waze, like, will add time, subtract time?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not accurate because the traffic changes.
You know what I think is sometimes, because the app knows where the traffics are, and then it's rerouting drivers.
Right.
I feel like maybe the reroute, is also now traffic, because all the people that Waze told them to take that route, now there's a lot of
that
cars.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So there's no escape, guys.
No, there isn't, you know, and if you're stuck on the freeway, suddenly the traffic stopped. I thought, fuck, man, there's an accident up ahead. But it only lasted a minute, and then they opened the road again. So
yeah.
It's just the cop was slowing down so he can help this stranded driver. But you can write stories about the traffic in this town. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about it much anymore because it's boring. We'll talk about how fucking hot it gets here in the afternoon, and the management company can't seem to get it right with the air conditioning.
Really?
Yeah. So we have neighbors actually across the hall, and he says, we sweat in the friggin' office.
What's going on? It's nice right now.
Now it is, right? But as it gets warmer and hotter outside,
the AC brace?
The AC can't keep up.
Oh my God.
So we have to use fans here and shit. It's not pleasant. Yeah.
How do you fit? But you got to record.
Well, no, we do the show here, but, you know, it's
in these rooms,
it's a little cool, yeah, but not much. You know, if you circulate with a fan and everything, then it works, you know, but otherwise it's not, yeah. Hi, come on in, Christine. We haven't gotten to you yet.
Welcome.
So you're perfect timing, you know. We'll get to Christine in just a second. And what we can talk about with her is actually, I heard this morning and I'm seeing here that Facebook just launched a dating service. Are you
really
going to use it?
No.
Do you use any dating apps at all?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay. All right. She doesn't talk about her personal life, so we're not going to dig. We already figured, you know, this is what's going to happen, you know. So, Christine.
Don't Facebook give us enough trouble and grief as it is.
Right. Christine, we'll get to you in just a second, okay? No problem.
Facebook, haven't you done enough?
Yeah, I know. And that's what they're saying, is they already have so much of our information and stuff, you know. So so people don't want to have even more Facebook, like, messing with their personal lives, you know.
Yeah.
But it already is. I mean, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But in the competition of all the apps out there, this one's going to be like a success overnight with 2 billion users, you know, on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, anything Facebook wants to do, it's pretty much it has already all the leverage it wants. It has all the data, and it has more data on people than you know, the government. I feel it has so much data. I know everything about you, and we volunteer it. We volunteer it.
We volunteer it because
for
we
the
get
name
it for free.
Of comfort and social life.
Because we get it for free. I mean, if we pay, they might actually let you know.
It's not just free. I feel like, you know, a few times I tried to delete Facebook, and then what I saw is like people. Everybody stay in touch through Facebook, so I felt like they're holding my friends hostage, and then I can't see.
Oh well, what can I tell you? You know, but it's at least I'm hoping that some women will stop being harassed on Facebook itself, because a lot of women complain, "Hey, I'm not here to pick up anybody. Don't hit on me." Blah,
oh,
blah,
really?
Blah. And guys send them like dick pics and all that kind
on
of
Facebook.
Stuff. On Facebook.
Don't Facebook have like some sort of? I think they should have invented already some sort of algorithm that. I had a friend. He had a joke that, you know, he's bald, that the Instagram algorithm thought his head and confused it for a dick pic. Because really? He's...
Oh, wow. Oh, well. All right. Well, folks, since we're talking about dating and everything, we're going to bring in our guest right now who's come all the way from the south of the planet.
It does feel like another country. Here, sometimes. Right? Yep.
How many miles is it for you to drive? 50 miles, 60 miles?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it should take
and
an hour.
And you're so worth it.
Yeah. I know. Well, we love having you here.
Thank you.
I truly appreciate it. I mean, doubly so because you have to drive.
Thank you.
To make that drive, you know?
Yeah, usually it's an hour and a half today. It was two. Solid two
yeah.
hours today.
Yeah. Wow. So that's
but to
double.
To see your face is lucky me.
Yeah. Christine Baumgartner, thank you for joining us again this morning. You were here a couple weeks ago. It seemed like yesterday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a dating relationship coach. Are you a matchmaker too?
No.
She has the Perfect Catch website, but you don't match people. You just tell them how to match themselves.
Yeah. Sounds we're really good. Much better at it if we learn.
Right.
Most people have no clue how to do it. But when I teach them, then they really get much better at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I notice also people that go on matchmaking service, they end up not finding anybody, you know. And then you're a few thousand dollars poorer and you haven't found anybody because they give you a certain time, you know, to find someone. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Months, 6 months or something, yeah.
Oh, that's it? And then they're like, you're...
Yeah, if you want to stay more, pay again.
So you have an expiration date is what you're saying. They give
you
an expiration date. They're like milk.
What do you think? They're going to keep working for you for 50 years?
I don't know. Sometimes it takes time to find love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the Jews believe that if you do three matches, you're going to go to heaven.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
if you get three couples married, your place in heaven is reserved.
Okay, then I'm going
like
to start doing
parking.
That. I can do that. I can get some matches going. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why there's a lot of Jewish... I mean, well, it depends if they're religious, then, you know...
Yeah, well, it depends. It does.
Every time my mother tried to find somebody for me, it was so wrong for me. I was like, Mom, either you don't know me at all, or you find somebody for you that I can date.
Yeah.
Because they were so wrong. I was like, I don't even want to spend time with this person. Why would you do it? Twice, I let her do it twice.
Right.
And that was that.
And they were really wrong. It sounds
really wrong. I feel like, she found something for her, but she can't date them
because
they're not her age. They're my age. So now I date them.
Yeah.
Or like so they could be their son-in-law. Son-in-law. And I'm like, no.
So Christine, so who comes to you? Like someone like me who would need somebody and can't find anybody. Mm-hmm. So you would help me figure out what I'm doing wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, there must be a lot of need for you services.
I have very good job security,
right? How long have you been doing this now? Many years?
11.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Next month, 11 years.
What did you do before that?
I owned a special event planning company. I planned parties for a living for 25 years.
Wow.
And one of the things I say is I'd do a third of my business was weddings, and sometimes I'd see people that were getting married, and I'd think, oh, they're such a good match. And then I'd see people getting married. I go,
why are they together, right?
I would wonder. And then always at the one-year anniversary, I would send a card.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they would come back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the couple had gotten divorced.
Yeah, they came
after divorced. 1 year. Huh?
Some of them 6 months.
Yeah.
Really?
And they spent so much money in planning on the wedding and everything, right? Isn't that crazy?
Well, it'd be one of the conversations I'd have. Who knew that that was going to be part of what was going to give me foundation for what I'm doing now? But I would talk to them when we would be driving around looking at locations and meeting vendors. And I'd talk about, you know, let's look at how you're going to handle your finances and kids and religion. And they hadn't talked about it. And I said, oh, my gosh, because I was single at the time. And I thought I had dated people for 6 months and I could answer all those questions about them.
Yeah.
And I'd say, well, when do you think you're going to talk about it? And they go, well, maybe after we're married. And I said, well, I think it'd be good to talk about it now.
Before, right?
So I would have my own little coaching thing right there in the car.
Oh, wow.
It was fun, though.
It's a car coaching.
Yeah, that was me. Instead of car karaoke, I was car coaching.
Yeah, maybe you should do a show like that, the car coacher.
Okay.
You know, you pick somebody
up. Coacher?
Yeah. Like a TV show. She picks somebody up that has difficulties and thing. They tell her what's wrong.
Yeah, okay.
She gives them a quick... Sounds 5 to 10 minute coach because in TV you can't go too long. And then you just dump them off.
Sounds good to me.
And
yeah.
I'll pick you up on this corner in a week, and you can let me know how it goes, and we'll have another conversation.
Well, she can also pick the guy. She can pick, so she can have 5 minutes. She picks the guy, and then she picks the girl, and then you know that could be a little
sort
know,
of a speed dating in the car.
There we go.
Yeah.
In a way.
But it was amazing to see how people that were engaged were not having these kinds of conversations. So certainly people that are dating right. are not talking about, well, what's important to me? What do I need in a partner? Maybe. What would make me happy?
But, you know, even people when they do talk about it, I see, you know, couples get married and they're really right for each other at the time. Mm-hmm. And then people change. Mm-hmm. People, especially in from decade to decade or for even mm-hmm. 5 years to 5 years, you're not the same person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes something happens in your life. You change something good, something yeah. bad, something. Mm-hmm. People change their religious beliefs too. Mm-hmm. Like my father was always very spiritual. And now he became more religious after he turned 50 for some reason. So... Mm. I'm not the same or that I was when I was 25.
Right.
So what you can talk, there's still like a risk. You can talk about all mm-hmm. these things and you can decide, yeah, this is the religion that this is what works for me. But then 10 years down the road. Yeah.
But you can't know, you know, let's say you can't know.
You can't
that,
know, but, right? So what do you do with that?
But you said after 6 months, though, you definitely want to talk about these things, you know. It's just like, you know, when people argue about should we have sex before we move in, before we get married. And the thing is, I think that's one of the most important things to know about your relationship is that you're sexually compatible, right? You don't want to keep that as like, I mean, do you want to like marry someone and then find out you're not sexually compatible? You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? But I think it makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
So that was like four different things at the same time. I still want to answer both of your questions at the okay. same time.
And I have another question that it relates to this question, which is, do you think couples can change together? Mm-hmm. You know, because I was in a relationship and it was before I started stand-up. Then I started stand-up and I changed because mm-hmm. my whole meaning of what I do changed. So I changed, but the person that was with me
did not change.
And that led to... you know, a breakup. But my question is, you're already married, you have kids, you can't break up that easily, right? But what one person changed, can you change together?
So my big part of my premise, which was what I talked about with those engaged couples, is that you start this foundation of this. People say, I want open communication, but they often don't even know what that means. So open communication means, first you figure out, well, what's important to you? So what was important to you before you started stand-up were probably some different things.
Right.
So you say, this is what's important to me in a relationship. This is the kind of partner I'm looking for. This is the kind of support I need from them. Is this something you could do? And these are kinds of, you look at me like, because these are the kind of conversations people are like, what? Why would we, how would we talk about that? That is so hard. And I'm going to get real and say, we let them in our bodies. Physically, we let them in our bodies.
Right.
We need to have this kind of conversation. If we're brave enough to let them in our bodies, we need to be woman up.
And let them in our soul.
Yes. Well, talk first. Yeah. Talk about what's really important to you and see if they can be that kind of person. And then find out what they need. What is it that they need in a relationship?
Yeah.
Because what I've seen with the couples that I've coached is when one of them makes a big shift like that or some big thing happens in their life that there's been some changes, they still have that foundation of the communication. They've been building it up over the years. But if you don't start out doing that, then when that big shift happens, it's like there's this big earthquake mm-hmm. that happens. And your foundation was not... I worked at Nordstrom a really long time ago, and the building that they built at South Coast Plaza is on rollers, and it's really wild to be there in an earthquake because the whole building just shifts, but it keeps it from breaking apart. Right. So if you have done this really good foundation for your relationship, it doesn't necessarily have to break apart if one person changes a lot.
Yeah.
Right. It could. Yes. I'm not saying it's fail safe.
But you're saying if you have a good foundation, they're more likely to grow together.
The communication is really important.
And that's what I mean, though. I mean, people sometimes they change physically, they change emotionally. And you look back and you go, that's not the same person I married. Mm-hmm. You know, so it can be difficult. I think it can be a lot of pressure on a couple the longer they're together. I think that's why sometimes after 20 years you see people divorce. You know, you're like, wow, you know. By this point, you guys are like one for the rest of your lives. But they discover that, hey, we're not the same people anymore.
Well, and what I've seen for people that get divorced after a long time, there's often two reasons. There's lots of reasons. But the two big reasons is one, they've had resentments
for years
and they haven't talked about them. Yeah. They haven't talked about them. This is really important to me from both sides. Mm-hmm. And it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's like a horrible corrosion. You're like a metal. It starts with a teeny bit of rust. And if you don't treat it, the whole thing could fall apart like a marriage does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other is something really traumatic did happen to the other person. And their partner just isn't equipped. They're just not equipped. They can't empathize with them. They can't stand with them. They can't be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So when you have resentment and you're feeling they're not paying attention to you enough, you're not seeing them enough, it feels like they're dismissing you, they're angry with you all the time, you can't please them. I'm giving you both men and women's points of views at mm-hmm. the same time. People get really discouraged. They get very discouraged in their relationships. If they feel like, I feel like I'm doing everything for this relationship, I'm doing everything for the other person, and I'm not getting anything back.
Yeah.
And often, not always, but I've seen it often, it's because we're completely misunderstanding what the other person's intentions are, what the other person's really trying to do for us, that we need one thing and they're giving us something completely different, but they think they're really giving us something lovely, but it's not what we want.
Right.
The guy says, I go to work every day. I come home and I'll go to the bars. I put my paycheck in the bank. And the woman says, and you come home and you just sit in front of the TV and you don't help with the kids and you never take out the trash. You can see how that could happen.
Yeah.
Both people are in a good place. Both people are thinking they're doing, he thinks he's working hard. He thinks he's taking care of his family in a way that a man should, in the way his dad did, and the way his dad taught him to. Excuse me, I have this silly cold.
Yeah.
And
you have water there, by the way, if you
thank
need
you.
Some. Sure.
And the wife,
she's like, I have to be with the kids all day. I was looking forward for you to come back home and just help me. Give me 5 minutes to take a bath. Right. It's all I want.
But she doesn't always verbalize that. We think, we women,
right,
that if the man just knew us
well
good enough,
he exactly. would know.
That we can read minds, you know? That
loved us enough. Mind. Just, yeah. Yes. We think you can read our minds.
Yeah,
we
I know.
Think you have that superpower.
I know. And it doesn't work that way, you know? I mean, it's like, I remember that. That was early in my life when I was dating. I already realized that, oh, well, you know, I was supposed to know that. Well, yeah, because they always say what you should do, what you should have done. And it's like, how am I supposed to know what you want, you know, if you don't tell me?
It's so unfair to get mad at somebody for not doing something they didn't know they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And both sides do it, women more.
Yeah.
But both sides do it. So when I tell women, what would you like? Figure out what you would like. And then tell him. They go, I shouldn't have to ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't want to ask him.
I understand that.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if I ask. It doesn't count as much if I ask. He should know.
Yeah.
But they
you know
don't
what?
Know.
I'm going to get you a cough drop. You want
thank
me to
you.
Get you one? I think yeah. I might have one. I get attacks like this all the time,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But go ahead and chat. I'll bring you a. I think I have one left.
Yeah. Because we, you know, I feel like we as women, we, and you know, Sam and I talked about it yesterday, and we were like, you know what? What do women want? What do women want? In the end of the day, what we want is the men to just say, "I got you, I got you." That's it. I got you. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we want. It doesn't matter from the smallest thing to the largest thing. We just want you to say, "I got you." Then we'll give. Whatever you want, you know, and all they want is just for us to fuck them. That's it.
Thanks. Food, sex, appreciation. That's
food,
what's
sex,
really
appreciation.
Important
yeah, And we just need everything else.
Mm-hmm. We do need lots.
Yeah.
So telling them, I need you to just give me some attention, and this is how I like attention, and please give it to me this way. So what I did with my deceased husband was, when I learned, he likes coming home from work, and he would go in his office, and he'd like to just hang out on his email and read his auto magazines for an hour. And there were days when that was just perfectly fine with me.
Right.
And then there were days when I needed 10 minutes when he walked in the door. It'd just been one of those kind of days.
Right.
And he was the person that was going to make me feel better. So not on one of those days, but at another time, you know, we'd had dinner and we were both feeling relaxed. And I said, you know, hon, there's going to be days when I know you need to go have your cave time. And I really get that. And generally, it's fine with me. But there's going to be times when I'm just going to need 10 minutes.
Right.
First thing when you walk in the door.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I can totally understand that.
No, but then
that.
We were,
I mean,
like, yeah, but he gives me the 10 minutes because I asked him to.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, but
so
I mean,
I'm going to tell you about that because that's a really normal thing for us to say. I only had to learn,
yeah,
only because I knew better. I was able to figure out I could do this. So the most highest priority for a man, besides protecting and providing for a woman that he really cares about, as high as I can reach, the top of this building, their highest priority is to make us happy with them.
Mm.
They really want us to be happy with them, right? Isn't that a really high priority?
Yeah,
for a man?
That's true.
Look at that face.
Yeah,
because it's true.
Well, yeah.
Then a millimeter below that is to not piss us off.
Yeah.
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 But most of the time, they have no idea what's pissing us off or what,
yeah,
might piss us off. There's all these landmines, and they have no idea they're there.
Mm.
So if we say out loud, hunt, it would make me so happy. If I let you know on
that's
this
true
day, I just need 10 minutes, he'd go, oh, happy? I can make her happy. I am so going to do that. I am absolutely 100% going to make time for that. But I'll ask, is that really going to be okay with you?
Right.
And he said, I can't imagine it wouldn't. I guess I'd let you know if I truly had an awful, awful day. But he never turned me down.
Yeah.
And so I would greet him at the door, and then it was either, have a nice time in your cave, or I need my 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, bah, 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 let me get out
anger
and frustration.
And I would set my little timer, and I would talk for 10 minutes, and then I would say, that really helped. It made me feel better.
Right. Yeah.
Go have your cave time, and then we'll meet for dinner.
Right.
And so he really wants to make us happy. He doesn't want to sit there and talk for 10 minutes.
Right.
But he'll do it.
Because it's going to make us happy.
No, it's because if we're happy, we're going to give them
sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, you know, a happy wife is, you know, a happy life. But it really means a happy wife means you get to fuck.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But you know what? Once you're married, it's really not the same thing, you know?
No.
I mean, no, I don't think so. You know, people are much more, it's less intense as far as the pressure to have sex and all that, I think. You know, that's what I found. But
and for men, it's not just the act of having sex. It's not just, I can say the O word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you say fuck. So
an orgasm,
I can say the O word.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? Some places are like, ugh. You know, it's not just the orgasm.
Right.
It is that partly, but it's when they love us, when they care about us, when they care about our safety, when they would stand in front of a speeding car for us, that they're connected bodily to us, when they are inside of us, it gives them this sense of well-being. It fills them up. It is kind of like food and water and air to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I, we like a good orgasm. It's really great. It's good for our skin. It's good for our circulation. We have a real sense of, we get the oxytocin shoot up, but the hormones where we feel connected.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Theirs is even more of a sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It is essential as couples when you have reached a sexual part of your relationship for the man to be able to have regular sex with us.
Yeah.
Because they feel even more connected with us. They feel even more protective, even more in love.
Yeah.
having sex doesn't make them fall in love initially, which was one of the points I was going to make about what you were saying. Like it does us, it can make us fall in love way faster.
Yeah.
It can make us ignore red flags. It can make us not pay attention to if they're not treating us well, if we're talking not talking about our needs, or we've talked about our needs and we're not getting them filled. We go, la, 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 if we're having sex.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen generally to a man. It can, but not as much in the early stages of a relationship.
Yeah.
So because we have this precious commodity that they're really going to be dependent on later, we wait until we feel comfortable, until we feel that they're really the right guy, that they really are going to look out for us, that they really are going to treat us like a queen, that they are going to look out for our needs, that they're going to make every effort to make us happy. When
yeah.
we have reached that point, then we say, great, I would love to have sex with you. But
yeah.
too often...
Not in this day and age, by the way.
Too often...
No, but it still has to be before, I think, a long commitment, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's people that want to wait until marriage.
Right.
It's their religious belief. It's their
right.
psychological belief. I certainly wouldn't press them to have sex.
Right.
And there's certainly lots of things you can do around that. There's all sorts of other things you can get to know each other physically. The biggest problem for women is if we have open-hearted sex with a man, we will generally start caring for them more than they're worthy. Mm. Not that they couldn't eventually become worthy of it, but if it's too early, we haven't tested them to see if they're worthy of it yet.
Mm.
And our heart is more exposed, so if it turns out they're not worthy, we feel more devastated. We feel more heartbroken. If we've closed off our heart, which I did, and women talk about having sex like a man, we don't let our heart be get engaged. Well, then if the best guy shows up, he can't get through that.
Yeah, that's true.
I would not have met, continued dating, and married my amazing late husband if I hadn't stopped having sex like a man, waited a long time to have sex with the two men before him, and him, so that I could test to see if they were worthy
mm-hmm.
of me falling in love with them and giving them my body.
Mm.
And nowadays, that's a very challenging thing for women. We were told in the feminist movement, which there were some benefits that came out of that, but it really screwed up male-female relationships a lot. And we can't, because we have the two choices of our hearts get engaged or they're closed off. And generally, men don't feel connected just because they've had sex. They just don't.
Yeah.
yeah
so it's
well,
very hard on women
yeah.
to have sex too early.
Right, right.
But certainly finding out that you're compatible before you make a long-term committed relationship. I think it's important to have decided you're going to be monogamous.
Right.
That's the other thing that's hard nowadays. I did it. I had sex with more than one person at the same time. When I was in my flighty, I hadn't dated. I'd been married for quite a while when I was younger, and now I was single and no kids and had never really dated, so I dated
right.
a lot.
Yeah.
But then as I learned that that wasn't going to get me a husband, that was not going to allow me to fall in love with the right person or have the right person fall in love with me, I had to step back and stop having sex for a while, wait for a while. Let him prove himself. Let him show me that he was worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to. The right kind of guys, women don't know this. The good guys know that women have all the power in relationships. I know.
That's true.
Well, I've seen a little meme with a little girl and a little boy, and she looks in her inside her panties, and she goes, with this, I'm going to control you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, and
true.
I say more and more women know that today.
They've
and,
always known and, it. I think
I don't
you know?
Think so because in history books, women have been.
Yeah, but you should see some of the movies like Victorian times and things like that. You know, what I mean,
but
they had all
kinds
of conniving
things. I think
things.
Men knew that, and that's why they try to. all throughout history really confine women and control them and keep them in their place, mm-hmm. because they knew the power, the right. power of what we have down there. That's human behavior. You see something that can control you, you want to control it.
Yeah.
And now we reach the times that it's the best for the women. We're unstoppable now.
Absolutely.
And part of the unstoppable could be thought about in a new way of being feminine, being gracious, being a benevolent queen, not lording it over man, not using a club. Not,
yeah.
You're not saying, you can't get in my pants. You're saying, I think you look really interesting, and I think I'm physically attracted to you, and wow, that might be fun someday. Mm. And this is what needs to happen before.
Right. Mm.
This is how you have to prove yourself. I'm going to give you a few boundaries. So some of mine were, I preferred that if they were going to call me, it was before 9 o'clock at night. Now, I'm a midnight going to bed kind of gal. Uh-huh. But I wanted them not to call me after 9 o'clock. So I would say, that would make me happy if you didn't call me after 9 o'clock. And then I'd wait and see. Did they pay attention to that? Did they care about my feelings in this tiny little way? Because if they didn't care about that, they weren't going to care about a big thing.
Yeah.
So I'd say if that didn't work, I'd go, okay, not for me.
I should say, you can only call me before 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. If I want to really put in an effort.
And if it's really true, if that's really something that's important to you, give them things that are an effort. They like making efforts for us.
They like the chase.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. And then what's really important is noticing and complimenting, acknowledging when they do make that effort.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much for remembering to call me before 6. I'd say thank you so much for remembering to call me before 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
They go, oh, she noticed. I made the effort. She liked it. Okay, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had men tell me this. I didn't make it up.
Right.
That if you've ever trained a dog, that you reward for good behavior. So they said, tell us what you want.
Right.
And if we do it, say thanks. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. If you're just joining us, we're talking to the Perfect Catch, the brain behind it. You can go to her website. It's called theperfectcatch.com. And we're talking to Christine, of course. You guys can find it. I see you have classes coming up this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. For women and men. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
Maybe somebody wants to come out. I mean, I would. Damn.
I do it on the phone, so you can be anywhere. I have people all over the United States that work with me. And even in other countries.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I make it easy. You can just sit on your couch instead of mine.
Exactly. What? You can invite all these people to your home? That's terrible, too. But okay, so it's classes for what?
So to really start learning how to date differently, because if you've been dating and you're not finding the kind of people that you'd like to continue dating, then you need to do something differently.
Yeah.
And it's a nice way to just dip your toe into coaching. It's only 6 weeks. It's very inexpensive. It's just a good way to say, do I like coaching? Does it seem to work for me? I'm going to do this, make this commitment to do what she says for 6 weeks in this classroom atmosphere. And what's really cool about the classroom atmosphere is I'll say to my individual clients, you know, oh my gosh, that's so normal. And I hear that all the time from other men or other women. And they believe me. But it's even more fun when you've got other voices on the phone to go, oh, I feel exactly the same. The same thing happened to me, where you just don't feel like, am I so weird? And am I the only person this happens to? No. Everybody doesn't know how to date.
So it's joined. There's a few people talking together in the class, or it's one-on-one?
I have one-on-one coaching that is just one person and me on the phone.
Yeah.
And then the classes I have usually between 8 or 10 people, mm-hmm. and we're all on the phone together.
Oh,
I use
wow.
a conference call.
App.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty
it's
cool.
It's a fun way to
learn. Because that way you're like you're saying, you're like, oh, I'm not the only messed up person. There's everybody's messed
right,
up.
Right.
Sometimes you and need to know that, you know, in relations back to Facebook and all that, because all we see is the nice stuff that's going mm-hmm. on, people getting married, people having kids, being happy. Yeah. And then on the phone call, you're like, oh, people are going through shit just like me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
The same shit.
It's like group therapy, you know? I mean, sounds good. Yeah.
With an emphasis on dating.
Yeah.
And it is really fun to hear, oh, wow. Everybody's got the same stuff, and wow, I'm a little bitter about that.
So, so you can help people with like boost their confidence and stuff around the opposite sex. It says by learning their language so you can better understand them. What does that mean?
So men
is
and
that
women,
what we've been talking about pretty much, though, is like how people expect things from the others. And tell us a little bit more about this.
So let's talk about a first date.
Okay.
I'm sure you've had lots of, a few first dates. I had lots of first dates.
Yeah, and I forget what that's like, actually. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, if you can think back in your memory bank.
Yeah. I have started checking out Meetup. I haven't been able to go to any because I've been busy, but it's a good place to look for people.
Good job.
Yeah. Oh, so I took a step, you see. But I added a couple of dating apps and the situation is getting worse. I'm telling you, I'm getting even less and less and less all the time.
Really?
And, yeah, and I want to talk to Christine about those dating apps. What?
Maybe you need to change your pictures.
I put 10 pictures in there. If they don't like any of them, I'm in deep trouble.
Yeah, your pictures, your profile.
Yeah.
When I look at profiles with my clients, I usually want to change them because people don't. The key, I'll go back to the communication in a second. One of the keys that people miss when they're writing their profiles, they just make lists. This is who I am, list, list, list. This is who I want, list, list, list.
Right.
I say, please tell a story.
Right.
Tell a story. If you want somebody that's funny, tell them something that you think is funny.
Right.
If you have say you have a sense of humor, tell them something that's funny.
Right.
If you love to travel, talk a little bit about what you just did or where you want to go.
And I'm too lazy. I just put the pictures up, do the check boxes, and that's it. I see what you mean. You know,
a little
you
got to
put some effort,
You got to be interesting,
because,
stand out.
Yeah.
There's so many people. There's so many profiles. You got to stand out. This is like L.A.
Right.
Isn't, you don't, it's not enough you have to stand out as an actor, as a singer, as a comedian, whatever.
Yeah. And plus, I'm telling you.
As a dating coach.
Yeah. As you get older, you know, there's less demand for you. You know, at least that's what I'm feeling. You know.
It's so discouraging.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will tell you is it is a numbers game.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the first date. Often, and maybe you haven't felt this way, but your friends have mentioned, women leave a date and say, all he did was talk about himself the whole time. He didn't ask me one question about me. That was just awful. And the man leaves going, I'm so exhausted. All she did was ask me questions. I didn't learn anything about her. Now, you might have heard of people having dates like those.
Right.
There's really a good reason that happens. And it's part of the thing about men and women communicating differently. So men show up at a date already liking us. They wouldn't show up if they didn't like us. They don't use their time, energy, and money on anything they don't think they're going to get a return on.
Right, but women are like that too, I think. No? Okay.
We show, you know what we think the most important question is we should ask about it going on a date is, does he like me?
Right.
I just said he likes you, but we all don't know that. Is that so sad?
That's funny.
Is it true?
Yeah, I don't know.
We all say that.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he likes me. I hope he wants to go out with me a second time. Well, I'm telling you, he wouldn't be there if he didn't like enough about you to be there.
Yeah.
Think about when they go to the store. They find a shirt, they buy 10 of them. They find a pair of shoes, they buy 4. We go to the mall, we try on a dress, we ask everybody in the store, even if we don't know them, if they like it. I don't do this. Then we have to go to 3 other stores in the mall. We might even go to another mall. So they know they've already made up their mind, not about getting married or a long relationship. They just know they like us well enough to be there. We're showing up to find out if we like them well enough.
Yeah.
And they know that. So they feel like they have to keep giving us their resume so that we'll like them.
Right. But when the woman agrees to go on a date, doesn't she have to like you too?
A little.
Yeah.
But not as much as you know.
Right.
You've figured out much more assuredly, generally, than we have. We still have lots of questions, which is why we ask you all these questions. Does that make sense?
Well, I think it depends on how much you talk before the date.
Well, we keep having to learn more, yes.
Right.
But see, this is why your head goes, because you don't think like this. Your male friends don't think like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say this to men, they all go, because it's not how you think. And when I say this to them, they go, because it's not how you think. You don't think like they do.
Right, yeah, that's...
Well, you think, like, yeah, you, that, and I say this from a woman to woman, you're like, oh, of course she gets me. But what's really fun for my men, they go, oh, she understands.
Right, right, right. No, we are different, and people that don't want to admit it will have a lot of trouble, I think, finding someone of the opposite sex, you know? I mean, it's just... I think there's too many attempts to make it seem like... I mean, there's one thing, being equal, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to admit there's a difference between the sexes, you know?
Mm-hmm. So much.
Right? I mean, we're like wired differently, and very people different. Have to understand that, you know?
And I get so much pushback about that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about this first date, that there's a bunch of other information around it, but I'll just get to the meat of it, of how to make it more successful.
All right.
So... the woman needs to find out more about the man. And the reason that we're talking to him is to share about ourselves and see how he reacts to that. And also to see when he answers us, how we feel about his answers. Mm. It's all about how we feel. Also, what we think about it. But we are checking in a lot about how we feel. Do we feel safe? Do we feel comfortable? Do we feel attracted?
Right.
You're just going, she's hot.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's why you go home and you realize, and you wonder why she doesn't get back to you, you know? Well, because she evaluated you and didn't like you, and you already liked her because you're like, I'll take her to bed.
Yeah.
You know? And you need to, that's how men, they have to, I knew every man that sat across the table from me, and there were hundreds, that each one of them wanted to take me to bed. Mm. I thought it was lovely. I just knew they weren't going to get to do it until I said, okay.
Yeah.
Because we have all the power.
Yeah. Right. You're the gatekeepers.
With good guys. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about bad guys. There's a whole different way to deal with them. But good guys, they'll take no for an answer. They'll absolutely take no for an answer.
Right, right.
So we ask him a question, and then we wait for him to ask the question back.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know that we want him to ask. There's another thing that they don't just know.
Yeah.
What he thinks is, if we have something to tell him, we'll just tell him. So he waits. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean.
And does that make sense to you that you go, oh, yeah, I just figure if she wants to tell me about her family or her past relationships or her job, or she'll tell me.
Right, right. Hmm? No, that's true, you know, but you never know because you don't know the other person that well. You don't know if they would tell you or not, you know. But
so the way to get around that and to make this be the most successful first. Everything's successful first dates mean you go out a second time.
Right.
No. It's did you decide whether or not you wanted to go out a second time? That's all about the first one.
Mm.
Do you like them well enough
to see them again, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if you don't want to see them for whatever reason, you don't have anything more invested except I learned about me. And I learned about them.
Right.
And maybe I learned some even better questions to ask beforehand, before I got here and did the whole hair makeup ritual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trimmed my nails and got my car washed and do all the things that guys do. Because you do make an effort to come and pay. Because,
uh-huh.
Yes, they're supposed to pay on the first couple dates. And the only thing that they would like from them paying for dinner is a thank you. Women think that men want sex afterwards, expect sex afterwards. No.
Maybe some they're guys do, you know?
Good guys.
Some guys will go, good shit, guys. I spent $100 and I didn't get any sex.
Not a good guy.
Right. Those are young guys, I think.
Not a good guy. Not a good, mature man that's looking for a relationship.
Right.
So if you're looking for a relationship with a man, then he pays for dinner and you give him a great big thank you.
Right.
And you've decided whether or not you would like to see him again. So you could then say, I think this would be really fun to do this again. Or, wow, I hope I get to see you again.
Yeah.
Now, he could have decided, no, you're not a match, for a whole bunch of things that don't have anything to do with you. Women are all worried about this pimple that's up here they don't see, or something over here that's sticking out or going in that shouldn't. He doesn't see any of that. A good guy is going, wow, she's hot. This is what he's thinking. It's really adorable. I think they're so adorable. So, from the man's point of view, when she asks you a question, do you like to travel? I love to travel, she says. I was in Greece and I loved it and it was so much fun and we did blah, blah, blah. And do you like to travel?
Mm-hmm.
So you would say yes or
yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love
and
to travel.
And where
yeah.
you've been and right. what you did. And
right.
then
uh-huh.
when you're done talking, you ask her another travel question because she's sitting there waiting for it.
Right.
This is the secret that men don't know. When we ask you a question, we would really, really like it if you asked us something back around the same subject.
Right.
Because what we hear then when you, in between, you know, like the parenthesis when you're reading and it's the people's thoughts.
Right.
In a book, wow, he really cares about what I think. He really wants to know me. He wants to get to know me as a person, which is really the truth. He just didn't know how to do that before. So this is not a game. I'm not teaching games. I'm teaching how to, your goal is to get to know her. And the way you've been doing it hasn't been working.
Right.
This works. Right. So ask her a question along the same line of something she asked you. So if you're sitting across the table from a man I haven't talked to and taught that to, what you do is you ask him a question about traveling. And then when he's done talking, you answer it as if he's asked you, oh, I like traveling too, and I've been to that place, or I want to go to a different place, and this is why I want to go.
Yeah.
Because he really does want to get to know you. He wants to get to know about you.
Uh-huh.
He wants you to think.
They just don't know how to ask.
They don't know how to ask. Okay. And if a man knows how to do this, a tennis match where you pass the ball back and forth, it's because they've learned it from a woman.
Yeah.
Because men, just when they're sitting around talking to each other, they just know if the man has something to say, he'll say it.
Yeah.
Now, there's exceptions. You know, if you're having a tough time and he's your best friend and you're like, what's going on? But on a date, because I have to just keep bringing this back, because there's always exceptions to everything. But because I see this happen over and over on first dates, that people get frustrated because they don't know to just figure out how to pass the ball back and forth.
Yeah.
So both people have to take responsibility to getting to know the other person.
Right. And on that note, we're going to have to wrap up.
Is that helpful?
Yes, Jerry, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I love sharing this because nobody knows this.
That's true.
It should be not a well-kept secret
anymore. No, I like it because you're frank about things. You don't look for the politically correct and all that stuff. You just go with, hey, this is the way it is, you know. People wake up, you know. And I like that. So tell people again how they can find you, how they can get help from you as far as dating and stuff.
Yeah, I tell my clients that I will always nicely tell you the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a brutal kind of person,
right,
but I don't beat around the bush.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what people are there for, to get real advice, you know, not what they want to hear.
No. And I don't always tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
And I tell you what you need to hear in order, if this is your goal, to stop casually dating, to stop meeting the wrong people, you want to finally meet somebody that wants to make a commitment to you,
right,
then this is how you need to adjust your dating.
Right.
So my website, which you so nicely were looking at, is www.theperfectcatch.com. At the top is a banner that says what's holding you back from love. If you click on that, you answer just a couple questions and you'll have access to my online calendar and you can have a complimentary conversation with me. Yeah, I offer a free hour to answer any questions you have.
Wow.
I tell them it's like a first date. We see if we want to spend more time together.
Because
it might be you just need a little check-in, or you might go, oh my gosh.
Well, you're letting people sample the merchandise a little bit.
Sure. Happy to do that for an hour on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And then my classes, they can find that, and they can also sign up for my newsletter. I send out a newsletter every other week with lots and lots of tips. There's videos on my website. It's all free access to lots of helpful dating.
That's awesome. There's a lot of stuff on this website, folks, so check it out, theperfectcatch.com. Christine Baumgartner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam.
You're amazing. Thanks for making the drive again. I truly, truly appreciate it because I know it takes commitment to make that drive.
Yeah.
You know?
From Orange County, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So we appreciate the fact that you do, okay?
I'm happy that you invited me to come.
Yeah, okay. Well, have a fast trip back.
Yes.
And we'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, for sure.
So fun.
All right, today's Thursday, so it means there's one more day.
It's the weekend.
And then it's the weekend, right?
Again. I feel like this week was so short because of Labor Day weekend.
Right.
So we started on Tuesday, Wednesday, this is already Thursday, and Friday.
And I'm ready for the next weekend already.
Are you going? Do you have it? Oh, you don't go out in the weekend. You say you don't.
No,
like
that's
travel.
Not true.
No, you said you don't like to camp in the weekend, right?
No, I said I don't like to go when everybody else goes.
Yeah.
Which is weekend. Holidays usually.
Oh, holidays, not the weekend.
Yeah, well, weekend too, but I mean, it's not as bad. You know, yeah. It has to be the weekend. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.